Conditions apply.
Is your lawn looking a little tired? Big Goose Lawn and Landscape can help. From expert lawn care to professional sod installation, they turn dull, patchy yards into lush, vibrant landscapes that will make you want to step outside. Don't spend another summer looking at bare spots or weeds. Big Goose brings your lawn back to life, greener, healthier, and ready for those summer barbecues. Big Goose Lawn and Landscape, the grass is always greener on their side. Check them out on Facebook or visit biggooselawncare.com.
This public service message is presented by BHJ Property Management at 101 South Main.
Come on down to the Boys and Girls Club at 189 North Cedar Street in Buffalo for a day of family fun. At no cost at all, we will have giant inflatable slides, face painting, balloon animals, a fire truck, free food, and so much more. Bring a food or hygiene product to donate to our local food pantry for your chance to enter into our raffle to win a variety of items. Come learn what resources Buffalo has to offer families and individuals while you and your whole family jump in on the fun. May 31st, 11 to 2. We'll see you there.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Good morning, Wednesday, May 28th, and from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I'm joined by University of Wyoming Director of Institutional Communications, Chad Baldwin. Good morning, Chad. Welcome back to the show.
Morning, Floyd. Thanks for having me.
How is it down there? It's a little rainy up here today.
It was a big rainstorm last night, Floyd, and it's an apt description to call us emeralds here today. It's green as can be. It's beautiful.
That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. This is my favorite time of year. I make a drive from Buffalo to Sheridan each morning, and I get distracted not by my phone, not by the radio. I get distracted by what's going on outside. So it is that time of year. How did the commencement go this year?
Yeah, it was great. We actually had a nice day of weather last Saturday, and a great I guess 2 Saturdays ago now, come to think of it. But anyway, the nearly 2,000 diplomas were handed out. Lots of families in town. Lots of celebration going on. It was great. It was wonderful.
That's fantastic to hear. Nearly 2,000 diplomas handed out. That's incredible.
Yep.
Now, how are the big dorms coming along?
Floyd, the first one is almost ready. I mean, it'll be populated with students this fall. I think we're going to get in there and be able to take a bunch of photographs here the first part of July. It's nearing completion. Our Board of Trustees toured it last week, and it's really spectacular. So the there's this North Hall, which includes the new dining center, and then there's the South, and that'll be open this fall. The South Hall is a little bit behind, and we'll have students in there then in the spring semester.
And for those who don't know, is this just the two halls?
Yeah. So it's total of about 900 beds between the two of them, and they're gonna, they're replacing some of the old outdated high rises there that we've had students in for 50, 60 years now. So. And they're right on 15th Street, right next to the Union and Half Acre, and they're spectacular. I mean, that from the exterior, it's that beautiful Gothic sandstone that we have on campus, and I'm told that the interiors are really, really something else.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to those internal photos. I've read a couple articles about these things. This is going to be a wonderful dormitory for everybody. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, brand new cafeteria as well, right?
Yep. Yeah. The Washakie Dining Center, which has served us well for generations, we're going to move everything. It'll be a new dining center here in the North Hall, and it's really. I've seen some, renderings of it. It's really something. It's beautiful.
Well, that's amazing. That's really going to kind of change the landscape of the University of Wyoming. And do they have any plans for the old sky rises? Are those going to continue on? Are they going to change them into something else? Or are those going to be torn down?
So we're going to continue to use at least one, Floyd, because the 900 beds doesn't serve all the needs. And quite honestly, it gives us some variety in what we can offer students, both in cost and experience, you know. But eventually, the others are going to come down. We don't have any specific timeline on that yet, but that'll be quite a spectacle when they do come down.
Yeah, it will. And it's almost kind of sad because whenever I go to Laramie, you know, they're just these iconic buildings that stand up there, and I always like to kind of drive by the university and take a peek at it and see what's happening over there. Now, shifting gears on you, the Wyoming Geographic Information Science Center at the University of Wyoming has launched a very informative and very interesting data portal. Chad, what is this?
Yeah, so this is a technology called LIDAR, Floyd, and I'm no expert here, but we're all familiar with radar, which I believe is based upon sound waves, right?
Correct.
LIDAR is light detection and ranging, and it's a real precise way to determine the contour of our state. So the legislature a couple years ago appropriated $2 million for us to develop this public portal. It's a free resource, and it's making advanced geospatial data easily accessible to everybody in Wyoming. And it's a real detailed look at the contour and terrain of Wyoming. That's really helpful for, say, land use planners, farmers planning ag projects, emergency management teams who need to respond to natural disasters, outdoor enthusiasts and drone operators, the whole host of people for whom this will be real useful.
I've actually got a friend who operates drones, and he takes a lot of interest in aerial photography, things like that. I think he's going to be all over this data portal. Now, LIDAR, incredible, incredible tool. I do believe that it helped actually expose, I want to say, even thousands of structures in South America that we did not know were there. They were covered up by the jungle. This LIDAR is incredibly precise and kind of shows you things that the naked eye, satellite images, weren't even able to discover. It's incredible. Now, we know who it's intended to help. How can folks access this information? Is there just a website we can go to?
Yeah, just a website, lidar.wygisc.org. WYGISC is WYGISC. That's the acronym for the Geographic Information Science Center. And it's, you can just go there and download things, take a look at stuff. This is a public resource that provided by the state's public university.
This is incredible. If agriculturalists or ranchers were curious or wanted to use LIDAR, do they ever work with the Wyoming Geographic Information Science Center? Is that something that's even possible?
Yes, absolutely. There's actually an organization called the Wyoming Geospatial Organization. They had their spring conference recently in Casper, and that's where this new LIDAR data portal was unveiled, sort of. And that includes people from a whole host of different, fields of work. My own son works in the weed and pest business down here in Albany County, going after noxious weeds. They're out on the countryside a lot, and this is the kind of information that really helps people do their jobs like that.
Oh, yeah. We've got big invasive weed issues coming up here due to the fires and the scars that were left behind. I imagine, they could probably find some way to help them kind of get ahead of that while we still can. Now, excuse me, this project was in phases, right?
Yeah, so this is the first phase that's been done. Phase two is in development. It means, and they're talking about further collaboration with stakeholders, as you just kind of mentioned, to expand the available data sets and then improve the tools. I mean, there's always, in this digital world we're in, there's always room for improvement, Floyd, or new things to incorporate. And so that's what phase two will be.
That's absolutely incredible. The amount of information that people will be able to access through this, I think, will surprise many people in the public. Switching gears on you again, a course on entrepreneurial finance at the University of Wyoming is enabling business students to have hands-on roles in the investment of funds from the UW Venture Capital Program. Now, Chad, what exactly will they have students doing kind of in the background here?
Yeah, so this is this particular program is for our MBA students. So these are grad students, and it's part of our College of Business and our Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation. And it's basically hands-on opportunities for these students to make decisions about investing money in startup companies to help them get going. And so, and then it's substantial. I mean, we're talking about $100,000 they have to distribute. And it's, you know, it's a way to really dip. They're dipping their toe in the business world might be a bit of an understatement. Maybe you're putting your whole foot in to get a real experience here and assessing, you know, based upon certain criteria, what's a good investment to make in a startup company, and then actually making that investment.
You know, one thing that I always kind of thought or believed, you know, in college you study the theories and then you go out to the real world and you kind of start putting those theories into practice. And there's so many lessons that are learned, especially in the business world, that are almost difficult to kind of teach in a classroom setting. And so I think this is a fantastic program that will end up really showing risk. And I don't mean risky business. I mean, you know, do I take the risk? Because sitting on the fence is kind of the secret to business. Do you jump or do you play it safe? And I think this is really going to give people a lot of experience going forward. Now, these have got to be kind of UW-affiliated startups?
No, not necessarily.
Oh, fantastic.
Nope, companies can apply and be considered. I want to make sure I'm getting this right, Floyd. So it does require a UW touch point. So it's so I was incorrect in saying that any company. Mm. So it's a student, staff, faculty, or alum is okay. So you don't have to be, or if you using UW intellectual property, that's licensed by the university, developed here.
Right.
So anyway, a student, staff, faculty, or alum. So if you're an alum of UW, that gives you a connection to have your business considered.
Wow. Now, how can people in the private business world, UW alums, be considered? I was kind of looking at this from the student's perspective, but after what you've said, I'm going to take a step back and look at it from a possible business owner. Now, how can I apply for this or throw my name in the hat? Is there a way I can do that?
So you need to contact our Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation. That's Robert Macy is the director, and he'll get you to the right spot.
What an incredible opportunity. So University of Wyoming alums, if you've got a business idea, you're pretty confident in it. Here is an investment opportunity with the understanding that, hey, everyone's kind of helping each other out here. University of Wyoming MBA students, you've got University of Wyoming alums taking business risks. I think this is great. When did this kick off? Is this brand new?
Yeah, it just started up this year, Floyd. And part of this Center for Entrepreneurship Innovation is doing a number of things that serves two purposes. It's to give our students experiences, real-world experience in the business world, and then to actually help boost the state's economy. It's a real win-win situation.
And I could only imagine students that are graduating maybe even this year coming out. They've got their ambitions. They're ready to go. They've got a business idea, and then they start working, with former classmates on big projects like this. This could really develop a lot. I think this is a great program. Chad, I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with the University of Wyoming right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Shared.
Busy summer tourism season? Be prepared for extra business with First Federal Bank and Trust Cash Management Solutions. Our local cash management experts will help you streamline your cash flow and minimize risk so you can focus on delivering exceptional service to your customers. Visit efirstfederal.bank to contact our cash management team today. Make this summer your best yet with the help of First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Member FDIC.
The largest RV store in Wyoming has a new location right here in Sheridan. Join us for Midway Onward RV's grand opening, June 5th through 7th, to save big on campers, motorhomes, and boats. That's right. Our manufacturers are offering enormous rebates for our grand opening only. Stop in to see what Sheridan's only RV and boat dealer has to offer. With food, fun, and prizes, we have something for everyone. That's Midway Onward RV, 1808 Coffeen Avenue, Sheridan, Wyoming, June 5th through 7th.
Hi, this is Liz Kincaid, host of the video podcast called Sheridan County Ag Update. Join me each week as I visit with local folks about ag issues, rodeo, 4-H, FFA, and much more. Sheridan County Ag Update presented by Heartland Kubota and True Built Builders. You can find my video podcast each week and other interviews under the podcast tab on SheridanMedia.com. So join me, Liz Kincaid, host of Sheridan County Ag Update on SheridanMedia.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with the University of Wyoming Director of Institutional Communications, Mr. Chad Baldwin. Now, students in the University of Wyoming College of Business are gaining real-world, hands-on experience as business consultants to companies in Laramie and Cheyenne under another new program. developed by the UW Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation and the Wyoming Small Business Development Center. Now, Chad, this sounds kind of complicated, and it sounds like this is a good partnership going on between the SBDC and the CEI. How was this idea developed?
Yeah, so this was another idea, Floyd, about getting students experience and helping businesses in Wyoming. Now, in this case, we're not, we just talked about where there's a seed fund for investment, investment venture capital sort of thing. This is actual groups of students, and these students are undergraduates. So people pursuing their bachelor's degrees who get a chance to work as teams to help specific businesses as consultants. So we had groups do that. There were four businesses that were helped this past year. One was a video game content creation company. One was a startup company in the entertainment industry. One was a wedding venue and planner business, and one was a powder coatings business. And students worked with those businesses as consultants to help them help them develop. And so the students themselves got experience. And the business has benefited with, hopefully, some useful information and to help them be successful.
Again, this is pretty incredible. This is a group of students who basically show up at your door who've been studying business yeah. itself. They sit down and you get yourself a team to go over everything right then and there.
Yep. The students met with these clients, determined what their needs were, what their kind of plans were for each of these businesses. And then when that formally was agreed upon, they did weekly progress reports. They had meetings with each client to provide these reports and their recommendations and help them along their way.
Oh, this is incredible. Do we have any results of this? Have any of the other business owners made comment on how things have progressed?
what I think maybe it's a little too early to say,
yeah,
you know, how useful the information was. And I don't have access to that personally, but I suspect that will develop as this program goes on, where there will be some real success stories we can point to.
That's fantastic. You know, this kind of seems like it's pretty new, right, this year.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yep, yeah, it's a new class. It's called Innovation Consulting, and it's a 4,000 level. So, you know, it's for upperclassmen, and so this was the first year.
Now, I was just curious, you know, and I'm sure this isn't information that you have, and maybe we haven't even reached this point, but to think that the University of Wyoming could have these students reach out to, you know, with all the Zooms and everything that are taking place nowadays, reach out to businesses across the state and maybe give them a hand. I think that would be absolutely fantastic, 'cause again, everyone, this is one of those situations where everybody walks out of it with something, you know, students with great real world experience, business owners with some fantastic new ideas from fresh eyes. I think this is a great program. We'll have to kind of keep an eye on this one and see just exactly where it goes to see if years down the line, you know, things kind of develop. Moving on down the line. A UW Master Craftsman's Program. Chad, this meshes a couple different departments down there, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. This is an extracurricular course that's going to be offered in the upcoming academic year. Our professor of art, she's a sculpture professor. Ashley Hope Carlisle is her name. And she's heading this up, and it's basically to help. I mean, generally, Floyd, when you think about art majors, maybe you're kind of a little bit worried about their career potential with that degree. This is a way to give those students an opportunity to make a living. And it's, again, it's hands-on experience, and it's, you know, skills in welding, metals casting, and other artistic talents, and giving them an industrial applications so that you know, you're going to get the opportunity to maybe use that degree to make some money and have a career.
What a fantastic idea. You know, you look through history and some of the best architecture, you know, it was definitely, it's got style, it's art, and these buildings, you know, when combined with engineering and material, they've lasted for, some of them have lasted for centuries. I think this is a fantastic application of art in the real world. Once again, because, yeah, it's fantastic to have a product, a widget or whatever, you know, be nice and sound. You want sturdy for sure. But to have it, you know, done by an artist as well, I think this is great. Is there a lot of interest in this program?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, we'll see, because this fall will be the first time we actually do it, but it's been under development for a while. And again, this is tied in with, again, the Center for Entrepreneurship Innovation was doing a lot of stuff here, and they've reached out across campus, and faculty members who feel like they have something that's of an entrepreneurial fashion have worked and now making this available to our students. And this is, we're talking about fabrication and restoration, manufacturing and design. I mean, there's art. There's an element of art in all this, as you've just explained, and so you'll have potential professions in production, development, and construction, and artists are a key part of that.
Chad, is all of this part of an initiative, or the University of Wyoming just saying, you know what, we're going to invest in businesses right here in the state of Wyoming? Where did all this fantastic work and all these new programs really kind of root from?
So Floyd, the President Seidel, who's been here now coming up on 5 years, some of his real initiatives have focused on being more entrepreneurial and more what he calls interdisciplinary, where you're working across, you know, the silos of the university, so to speak. And then, you know, his background is about economic development, and so it's helping boost the state's economy at the same time. And And the other thing that he's really led a real strong focus on is giving our students hands-on experience. We call it experiential learning, where it's not just in the classroom, not just hearing about theory or reading about theory, and you're actually doing real work in the real world, often with private companies. So so President Seidel has really led that effort, and we're seeing the fruits of that now.
That's fantastic to see. These programs kicking off, we'll check back with you as we kind of progress through the next couple of years. I can only imagine, students and these businesses are really going to benefit from this. And I think as it grows, if they grow, hopefully they do, being able to reach out to the entire state, because we are still, a lot of these programs still in their infancies or haven't even fired up yet. Now, Chad, before I let you go, I know him as, at first, Sergeant Martinez, and then I got to know him as Chief Martinez. He was actually one of my best friends. He has recently won the UW Board of Trustees Award of Merit. Can you tell us a little bit about what Marty has done for the university in the last decade?
Sure. Well, so really hits close to home for you, I know, because as a veteran yourself. But we have close to 700 military veterans enrolled here at the University of Wyoming. And Marty, for the last 12 years, has been the director of our Veterans Services Center. And that came after his own 30-year military career in the U.S. Army. And he has developed an incredible program here now that helps our veteran students be successful. Marty has mentioned before the transition from a military life to academia is not necessarily an easy transition. And he's been all about making that work and developed a whole host of programs, even some specific classes for veteran students, a series of events that take place, and has really helped lift our veteran services program to one of the best in the country. And so he very deserving of this honor from our Board of Trustees. They don't give out many of these. And Marty now is going to be retiring. He's announced he's retiring. A big loss for us, but he's established a real strong foundation to carry forward and established a real legacy for the university.
Well, I'll tell you what, Marty, he took care of soldiers better than anybody else in the service that I knew. When he showed up to a situation, you knew everything was going to get straightened out before he left. And after a 20-year career, he could have retired, but he sat down and decided he wasn't done quite yet, so he went off and became a warrant officer, took care of us for another 10 years from an even higher point, and then to know that he started taking care of us after we all took the uniform off. This is probably one of the most well-deserved awards I could possibly think of. He's an amazing person. Chad, I want to thank you so much for calling in this morning and sitting down with us and telling us about all the great things going on down at our university, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Floyd. It's great to talk to you.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the Sheridan County Library System. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Planning for a busy summer tourism season? Be prepared for extra business with First Federal Bank and Trust Cash Management Solutions. Our local cash management experts will help you streamline your cash flow and minimize risk so you can focus on delivering exceptional service to your customers. Visit efirstfederal.bank to contact our cash management team today. Make this summer your best yet with the help of First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Member FDIC.
Ladies and gentlemen, Doug Wooden at Waring Chevrolet has lost his mind.
Bob, I'm fine. I'm just extending the buy three tires and get the fourth for a buck deal through May 31st. Our response in April was over the tire.
Doug, that's called over the top, not over the tire. Next thing you know, you'll be handing out free tires and a tire swing for grown-ups.
Come for the tires first, then stay for the terrible jokes if you want.
Extended through May 31st, buy three tires, get the fourth for a dollar. Waring Chevrolet, 107 East Alger, online, waringsheridan.com. Tire swing for grown-ups not included.
Hi, this is Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's here on Main Street in downtown Sheridan, where great food is just the beginning. From the moment you walk in, our team is dedicated to making your dining experience exceptional. Your server isn't just here to take your order. They're here to guide you, offering recommendations, pairing flavors, and ensuring every detail is just right. Whether it's cocktails at happy hour, a date night for two, or a family celebration, we make every occasion memorable. Book your table early at Frackleton's.com.
Got a dream too big for the garage? Your business is growing and you need to step up your game. Synergy Shop-O-Miniums are customizable warehouse spaces designed for trades, startups, and small businesses. They are ready to scale with high ceilings, large bay doors, and owner-friendly built-ins. More than a workspace, it's a foundation for your future. Synergy Shop-O-Miniums. Own your space and build your business. Located near everything at 72 East Ridge Road. Contact Sheridan Realty Associates for a walkthrough.
Hi, this is Brad at Primerate Motors, and let me tell you, partnering with Sheridan Media and the Country Bounty has delivered proven results time and time again. Our Sheridan Media guy keeps our message fresh, and his reliable customer service means we're never left hanging. If you're looking to move inventory or grow your brand, I say saddle up with the best, Sheridan Media Radio and the Country Bounty. The proof's in the pavement, and that's the results you can haul to the bank.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, we're joined by Sheridan County Library System Community Engagement Manager Cassie Stone and the Youth Services Manager Zola Shockley. Good morning and welcome back to the show.
Morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yesterday was a long day, but... It's over, so we're going to start Wednesday with a smile. How has spring been down at the library?
Busy. Bustling. Yeah, gearing up for summer programming and just getting all of the ducks in a row.
We've had a lot of school tours, which was really great, but it's a lot. So
is that kind of how they end their year? Like,
yeah,
just pop
a lot
in?
Of people want to come into the library. We had Wyoming Reads, which is all of the first graders coming to the library and getting their book. So that's an exciting day. It makes like having 60 kids come into the library feel pretty chill.
Yeah.
This is just 60 kids, not 300. I've been going to schools and talking about the summer reading program. So lots of fun stuff.
But that is great. So what grades do you really touch on when they send you to these schools?
K through five. I went to Highland Park yesterday and talked to all of the kids. Our summer reading program is for all ages. I haven't really gone to the middle school, but we have stuff for them, so.
Well, I would hope that by that time, a lot of them have already kind of got some experience in that. I think every class had at least one big reader. Ours, her name was Sarah. And holy cow, that girl had a book in her hand everywhere she went.
It's always a Sarah.
Yeah, maybe it might be. I don't know what it is. You want to read her, name her Sarah, right?
Yeah. So,
yeah, she had books in her hand during recess sometimes.
That was me.
Well, and then
you're either Zola or a Sarah. There we go.
You ended up in the perfect career. When these kids come through in first grade, do they get their library cards at that point? Or are they even old enough to have one yet?
So kids can get a library card whenever the adult in their life decides that they're ready for a library card.
Okay.
So I have toddlers with library cards, and then some people kind of hold off because it's more of a responsibility moment that they want to have for them. But we don't sign them up during Wyoming Reads. That would be insane. Like,
yeah.
I said, we
oh,
have
wow,
300
yeah.
kids. I can't imagine signing them all up. But we do talk about it. And it was really neat this year because this was the year that I recognized the most kids as being library kids.
Yeah.
You know, usually in each group, there's a couple who are, I'm like, oh, yeah, you're my library kids. But this was like a third of each group. I knew them from the library. So it's neat to see that increasing each year, which means that it's more library use each year from kids.
I think you and I have actually talked about generations down the line and cell phones. Because that was kind of like our big thing, right? Everyone's worried, oh, well, the age of the book is gone. But I don't think that's the reality.
Especially, I mean, we're talking picture books. Like, you can't replace a picture book with a cell phone. Like, it's not going to translate. So I'm not scared about that.
And I see my daughter. She doesn't, I mean, I bought her a Nook and she's had all these electronics her whole life. And I thought she's going to be, you know, what she calls a pad kid. But she really didn't. She'll go into Barnes & Noble and all these other places, and she'll come out with armloads of books. There's something still, I don't know, maybe even visceral or real about being able to hold a book, isn't there, Cassie?
Yeah. I have seen some news articles talking about how the younger generation is kind of doing with books what millennials did with vinyl. And it has kind of a retro feel, and so it's appealing. And also, I think that kids are more aware and more critical than we give them credit for, and they can see the older people and adults in their life struggling with being on their phone all of the time, and they're like, I think we could do it differently. Mm-hmm. I've noticed. I've been following the All American Rejects tour. I don't know if you've been, but they're playing in like house parties and at farms. But it's very, I know, but it's very, and it's very interesting because when I watch the videos of it, there's less phones out than I see at a lot of kind of formal concerts that would take place at
Regular venues.
So I do think that the youth are being more critical. And I also, like you said, there's something about a book. There's something about the physical object that I don't think can ever be replaced through a tablet or a phone.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when you walk into someone's house and you see that bookshelf,
you know they're a cool person.
Yeah.
You're like, this is my people. And then you start looking at the titles. And then you can be really judgmental. Yeah. You're like, how cool of a person. But I also have to say, we also provide ebooks and audiobooks. And I think that those are great. Like, I love an audiobook because I think a lot of adults don't have time to sit down and read. And so if what you can do is do some chores while you're listening to an audiobook, that's way better than nothing. And it still has a lot of value. And I just went on a trip and it was so nice to be able to take my Kindle and know that I had a lot of options for reading when, you know,
saving room.
We're all trying to shove as much as we can in a carry-on, a full physical book or two. That takes it out of you. So I do think that it's nice to have different formats. I mean, I'm still, I have so many bookshelves in my very tiny apartment. So, and I'm that problematic millennial who's like, I want vinyl. Every time I move, I'm carrying my vinyl up steps and my boxes and boxes of books. And I'm like, wouldn't it be nice if somebody created a device that I could just put all of this on?
So you were talking about the Kindle and traveling.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't told this story a lot, but anybody out there listening who served with me, especially in my platoon, will remember. We were all given what's called large gorilla boxes. These big, large, pretty strong boxes, and they're good size. I mean, think of like a big army trunk.
Yep.
Well, we were allowed to put whatever we wanted in certain ones. Like, okay, this is your military gear. Now, here's your person. I filled mine with books, and nobody wanted to help me carry this thing. So I loaded it in the Connex, and more than once, I drug this thing clear across motor pools, and it weighed a ton. But I took so many books over there with me because I was like, we're going to have time. And I ended up reading a lot of them, not all of them. And then there were certain ones I just couldn't leave there. So I had to bring them back. And again, nobody wanted to. Even the people who had helped me get it there didn't want to help me.
You're like, we're done helping, bud. Yep, sorry.
You could have left him, Floyd. You could have left him, but you had to bring him home. So, I know
a
the
Kindle
struggle.
Would have solved that.
And a Kindle would have solved that. Yes. And, audiobooks, I think, fantastic choice, especially for the busy adult. When my wife does any type of cleaning, she's got her earbuds in or whatever you call them, and she's walking around. And I know because I'll say something to her, and she will totally ignore me. Oh, are you talking to me? And pull it out. And she's listening to all kinds of audiobooks.
I always give the death glare, and I'm like, is this important enough for me to pause my audiobook right to my something. Husband? I'm like, is this a question or a comment?
Now, when it comes to, like, sitting down and going over the actual act of reading, I mean, as adults, I think it's fantastic that we've got all these great options. But I think it all starts fundamentally with sitting down and opening that page. And really having, I'm going to say it, the discipline to be patient and sit. I mean, I think a lot of that is difficult for a kid nowadays. There's things to do. Well, it's probably always been difficult. There's things to do outside, especially during the summer. How do you get these kids in for the summer reading program? Because last year you had record numbers, a record I'm hoping that you break this year.
I think we will easily. Prizes. We bribed them.
There you go. Whatever
just
works.
Straight up bribery. No, I mean, some of it is that. I mean, just the idea of you do your 5 days, you get to come in and get a prize. Like, they generally don't even care what the prize is. It's a thing, you know?
Yep.
It's the ritual of that. And the programs, you know, having them come in and just getting kids into the library, that's the first step. Like, if they're not checking out books, if they just want to play with our little kitchen area, that's fine. Just having them around books and interacting with books, that's the first step. I think also modeling that behavior to children is really important. Mm-hmm. Having that time that maybe the whole family sits down and reads together, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, they always did it in school, the silent sustained reading, I don't know what they call it now, but where they had like 20 minutes a day that you just sit and read. And I think having that in the home and modeling that in the home is really, really important. But as far as summer reading program goes, yeah, we give them little prizes and they get bigger as they go along. And we're really just trying to prevent the summer slide, which is, you know, they forget everything they learned over the summer. So research shows 20 minutes a day helps prevent that. So we're trying to make it really achievable. And if they read more than that, which most kids do, that's great. I love that. But we are trying to make this attainable for all of the kids, where maybe 20 minutes a day is a little bit more of a struggle.
Yeah.
I want everybody to feel like they can participate in this, no matter your reading level. And I was at the school yesterday and the kids are like, what if we read a magazine? And I'm like, still counts. Then they're like, what if we read upside down? I'm like, still counts. So they were coming up with more and more absurd things. And I'm like, still counts. I don't care what you're doing. Like, what if I read to my dog? Counts. What if I read to a wall? Counts. So like I said,
they
just
had
getting,
to cover the entire game.
Yes. And I'm like, I can only say still counts so many times. But so I think just getting that in kids' heads, like, everything is reading, everything is helping you. And I'm in a uniquely nice position where I just want kids to realize that reading can be fun and an enjoyable activity. So
a recreation.
I have a lot of kids who are like, I really like this book, but I think it's below my reading level. And I'm like, great, take it. Like, if you enjoy this book, you should be reading it. Like, yes, you definitely need to challenge yourself at a certain point. But I like going back to my old favorites. And I'm especially as a kid with a higher reading level. Like, that was, I remember doing those tests and being in fourth grade. And they, you know, show you what your what's in your reading level in the library. And it's like, The Lord of the Rings. That's all you have. And that's not fun necessarily. So I think it's important to know that you can just read for fun.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I like my trashy thrillers, like all of that. And I don't think that there needs to be shame attached to any of that. You're reading, and that's what's really great. So.
And that's the important part.
Yeah.
You know, I think about the things that I've read over the years, and just taking like an American literature class exposed me to things that I wouldn't have read on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think about quite a bit, you know. And there's a list of them, and I won't go into it, but they're not books I would have read. And then my daughter was in high school, and she's like, oh, I got to read this book. And I was like, oh, that's a good one. You have to sit down and do it, you know. Don't flub your way through this one. That's a great book. And I think classes like that and having that type of exposure, really, it doesn't just keep the books alive and relevant. It's just that there were lessons in life that were written in these books, in some cases almost centuries ago now, where it still all applies to this day. And I don't think everyone would be actively, you know, engaged in these things without reading programs, without classes, without someone saying, okay, this is required. But then at the same time, like you said, once you get a kid reading, all of a sudden 20 minutes is up, the egg timer goes off, and the kid's like, whoa, 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 I'm in a spot.
Yeah.
You know, we got to get through the danger valley or whatever.
Yeah, and that's, I think, to build that curiosity where you're willing to interact with maybe more difficult texts, you have to have that foundational joy of reading. Because if you're just getting the challenging things, you're not going to be curious about those. So I think that's a big part. Also, what we're really working on is showing that the library isn't just about reading. We want kids to know that this is a safe place, and we provide a lot. If you need services, the library is the place that if we don't provide those services, we can at least point you in the correct direction. And that's like art classes and stuff like that. We really want the community to know to ask for the things that they want, because that's what we're here for.
And Cassie, how often are people doing that? Like walking up to you saying, hey, do you guys have one of these? And if not, where do I go?
Actually, funny you should mention that, because just yesterday, so it's circulation and reference who get most of those questions. And Zola and I are unfortunately not the most public facing while we're at the library, because we're in our offices or we're out in the community doing work. So it's library staff who field a lot of those questions, and they keep track of all of the stats. And yesterday we decided that we were going to come up with a shared document where we can where the staff can write down all of the questions that they get, and like, hey, are you going to have this class again? The question that we've been getting the most is, are you going to do the ceramics class again in the fall? Because people really love that class, which is not surprising to me. Ceramics is one of the best art forms in the world, in my opinion. And that just helps us plan for the future and decide kind of what programs we want to offer in the future. So it's not a regular occurrence, but we are trying to encourage people more and more to communicate what they want with us.
So like, if I had an idea, or maybe even if I wanted to teach a class, could I come up to one of our staff? Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And you'd give me the, at least the space itself, and we could go from there.
Yep.
What a great way to get that, you know, a lot of community engagement, the library really turning into a community center. Now, Zoila, excuse me, I'm losing time on you.
I know, we always do this.
It's fantastic, though, it's fantastic. I absolutely love having you ladies in here, because we always end up in these great conversations, but I do have to get my bases covered.
Yes.
The kids, where do they need to go? What do they need to do to sign up for this reading program?
So we are beginning on June 16th. We are having a kickoff program at noon. after our very first snacks and stories with the food group. So we read stories, the food group brings snacks. That's every day, Monday through Friday. At noon, we're going to have our kickoff program. It's going to be so much fun. We're doing a really big one this year. It's been getting bigger each time. We're going to have a messy outdoor art day. So it's going to be like painting with squirt guns and water balloons and all sorts of fun stuff. There's going to be a lot of collaborative artwork that we're making that we will be hanging up at Cassie's first ever mezzanine exhibition for children.
Oh, fantastic.
We are currently accepting artwork for that. We have one piece in right now, so we are looking for more artwork from kids. But yeah, it's our first public kids art exhibition, and we are having a formal reception for the kids to come to. So that'll be really, really fun to see that. And then they can pick up their reading log anytime after June 16th. If they start a little bit late, that's fine. But just come to the library, pick up your reading log, and get started. All of the information will be there.
That's so fantastic. Now, Cassie, real quick, if I've got a little artist and they want to turn in or submit a piece of art for this exhibition, which I can't think about this and not smile, what do I need to do?
Just come into the library and say, I have some work that I'd like to drop off for the June summer reading program exhibition, and we will take it off your hands.
What an awesome little opportunity for the artists in the community. And while you're there, folks, dropping off that great art, pick up your reading log and get started on your big summer reading program. Ladies hit fantastic numbers last year, and I think it's, I'm with you, Zola. I think it's going to be even bigger this year. And I want to thank you both so much for coming in this morning. I absolutely love having you guys on the show. I always get good laughs and even better information. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Busy summer tourism season? Be prepared for extra business with First Federal Bank and Trust Cash Management Solutions. Our local cash management experts will help you streamline your cash flow and minimize risk so you can focus on delivering exceptional service to your customers. Visit efirstfederal.bank to contact our cash management team today. Make this summer your best yet with the help of First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Member FDIC.
This is Ken here at Prime Rate Motors. We understand everybody's situation is different. We have helped people get into the car they need by numerous ways. You may need to downtrade for lower payments. You may wish to trade in more than one car. Prime Rate Motors will accept trade-ins on trailers, tractors, campers, even four-wheelers. So let us help you get into a premium pre-owned vehicle that is exactly what you want and need. Here at Prime Rate Motors and Super Trailer Store on Sheridan's Coffeen Avenue or PrimeRateMotors.com.
The following message is presented by Century 21 BHJ, 101 South Main.
Hunters, shooters, firearms enthusiasts, the Sheridan County Sportsman's Association Gun Club is hosting a demo day. Saturday, June 7th, an opportunity for you to shoot and handle new products from Weatherby, Ruger, CZ, and Savage, and silencers from AB Suppressors and others. This event is free to the public. June 7th, come on down.
This week on Active Reload. They are stealing more artwork over at Bungie. It's become a common occurrence.
This is like five times?
This is the fourth time they have done it now. If you want to take a lesson away from this,
yeah,
don't steal art, number one, preferably. But if you're going to, be good at it. And you can have a long-lasting career, Bungie, at the art directing department.
Here's my thing. I think he is really good at it.
Yeah.
Active Reload. Listen wherever you get your podcasts or watch on SheridanMedia.com.
I'm your digital pro, Kim Komando, inviting you to join me every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for the Kim Komando Show, brought to you by Range on 103.9 FM and 9.